Hi, everybody. So, welcome to this week's Facebook Live. If you are wondering, who is this lady? Has somebody taken over the group? Well, yes, but it's okay. I'm one of the new coaches. So welcome. I am so happy to be here with you guys today. I am Coach Yesenia, and I will be leading this morning's Facebook Live Q&A. So if you have questions, drop them in the comments below because I'm ready. Good morning, Laura. Karen, I see you're here. Hello. Shout out to one of my accountability partners, Karen. Yeah, start dropping them in the comments. Mary Jo is here with me today and she will be helping me to populate them so that we can get to answering them. Before we do that, though, let's go ahead and cover a few announcements and other important information. In the meantime, you guys can continue to come in. Good morning, Kara, Suzanne, another one of my peeps, Kim. Love Coach Kim. Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to have all of you, whether you're live or in the replay. So happy to be here. I will be talking a little bit about, like, more about me and who I am and my journey. But like I said, let's cover those announcements first. Emily, you guys are awesome. Okay, so by now, everyone should have received their email to update their private member podcast. So we recently got an update, and by now, you should have received the email to update the private member podcast. If you have not received the email, please let Samantha know at support@pnptribe.com. You can still sign up for camp, and it will be such a great way to start the new year. You guys, I'm not gonna lie. So when I found out about camp, I was not a coach yet. And when I found out that it was happening on January 1st, I was a little bit like, Corinne, this is some bullshit. I don't know. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I can't even think of a better way to start the new year. Like doing camp, working on myself with some incredible women versus no lie, kind of hungover. So I am super excited for camp. I'll be there along with the other coaches and a good part of the team. So I cannot wait. I hope you guys have signed up for that. Thursday office hours are with Coach Judith at 5 p.m. Central. So this is office hours, also known as, you can bring anything to be coached on. Saturday at 10 a.m. Central, Corinne is coaching on weekend overeating. This is one area where I've done a lot of work, and I'm super excited to see the progress there. If this is you too, I know a lot of us are working on this. Make sure you come to this coaching call Saturday at 10 a.m. Central with Corinne. Sunday at noon central is office hours with Corinne. Again, you can bring anything to be coached on, not just weight loss. These are some of my favorite calls. The Bench Better course is in full swing and you can jump on in. Coach Jane is amazing. I read through the workbook before it got, just to help proofread it and everything, catch any typos. I've never really struggled with binge eating, more like night eating, the weekend overeat, all that kind of stuff. And I was surprised at how helpful it was for me. So I highly recommend if you have not listened to these calls, if you have not gone through the workbook, it's an incredible resource. So that's going on this month. I know there's a coaching call every week except for the week of Christmas. So check that out. There's a whole page where you can find everything, the calls, the upcoming dates of calls, workbook, and everything, all that good stuff. There's a companion book too. Yeah, so I think that's it for announcements. So like I said, I am Coach Yesenia. I am so happy to be here. I am one of the new coaches. I have been a part of No BS for coming up on 2 years now. I found Corinne through Amy Porterfield. I ran my own business for a while. I was an author. Before that, once upon a time, a long time ago, I was a middle school teacher. If you can believe that, that's what I went to school for. And Like I heard her talking about Corinne. I had gotten a lot into self-development, working on myself, kind of mindset, not really the model or anything like that, but just a lot of like productivity, mindset, that kind of thing, business kind of related stuff. And when I realized that Corinne was kind of taking all of this mindset stuff that I was loving and applying it to weight loss, my mind was blown. I was like, this is what I've been looking for. So I joined. I was weighing like, I think I weighed in at like 172, 173 when I started. I'm 5'1". So yeah. So I had a good 20 to 30 pounds to lose. At least 20, right? Because I have such a short frame. And it took me several months, you guys, to lose my first 5 pounds. Several months. And I used to have a lot of drama around that. And then I decided, you know what? Like, I would rather inch forward than keep taking steps back. Because at that point, I had been trying to lose weight for months. Nothing was working. I had tried keto, was like, nope. I tried counting calories, which is how I had lost weight one time in the past and then gained it all back plus 5 pounds, not long after I'd lost it. I was really having a hard time for the first time ever. And I found Corinne and the basics just made sense. I stuck with it. I doubled down on it. And I just slowly but surely started losing a pound here, 2 pounds there, and I just kept going. And I just decided that I wouldn't give up. And I've never kept my weight off this long. I'm still working on losing like another 10 or 12 pounds. I've lost 20 at this point. And it has made a world of difference for me with my PCOS, like how I eat now, how I take care of myself now. Like I drink water now, I eat vegetables now. I feel better than ever before. And I have Corinne to thank for that. No BS. All the coaches, like all the amazing people that I've met in this community have helped me so much. I've made some incredible friends here. And I feel so good and I'm just so excited to keep going. That's one of the shifts that I've had lately is just the finding the joy in working on myself and figuring out like the good, better, best, what foods feel really great in my body and are incredibly delicious and that I love to have and that help me reach my goals. And then a lot of you guys have also kind of kept up with some of my personal journey, not just my weight loss. Like, I got coached by Corinne last July, so like close to a year and a half now. And I know several of you guys remember that call. And I had lost, I want to say, less than 10 pounds or maybe around 10 pounds by that point. It was summer. I had kind of been half-assing the program. So I wasn't seeing a ton of results. I'd lost a little bit of weight. And something happened, like with my marriage. And it felt like my life was blowing up. And I had no idea what to do. And I had never been on a coaching call. And I decided to come on. And Corinne coached me. When I tell you that, I ugly cried so hard. I don't know what Corinne even told me, but it helped me and it got me going on the journey that I am now. Like it changed my life forever. And even when I listened back to that call a few weeks later, I still could not really comprehend what Corinne had told me and what I even needed to do. But it definitely changed my life. I decided, like, I knew that I had the choice to either just quit with the weight loss and just wallow. And, I was going through a really hard stage in my life. And so it could be easy to just give up on my weight loss and say that I didn't have the time or energy or focus to do it. But I decided to double down on working on myself. I doubled down on the basics. I got back to planning every day. I started to get more involved in the community. I started posting more in the Facebook group. a lot of times, like around like the separation and then deciding to get divorced and deciding to become a life coach. Like, because of that coaching call, I kept hearing like Corinne mentioned Brooke Castillo in the Life Coach School podcast, and I decided to go listen to it. And it, again, like, it got me going on this new path in my life, and I fell in love with all of it. It helped me through the hardest time of my life. It helped me show up as more of the person that I wanted to be, instead of someone who was so bitter and angry and just depressed. It really got me through some tough times, like telling our kids that we were going to get a divorce. And I decided to become a coach during a time in my life where it felt like my life was upside down. I was on my own as an adult for the first time ever. Like, I had never been on my own. I had never been single for more than like 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And during all of this, like, I became a single mother. I got my own place. I started figuring things out, and I became a coach. And so that has been a year now that all of this has happened. And so when I say that just getting to be here, so these Facebook Lives are like my favorite calls. And so now to be here with you and be leading one, like, full circle moment, you guys. And it just goes to show, like, sometimes I look at myself and I almost don't recognize myself, and not in a bad way, but just because of, like, it's almost like the outward changes, the weight loss, my appearance, how I do my makeup now, like, it's a reflection of all the work that I've put into myself on the inside. And so sometimes, like, just looking at myself like this, I almost don't recognize myself, but it's also incredibly empowering to know that I've done all of this work on myself, and that you guys can do that too. And I know, I'm sure a lot of you here can kind of relate to what I'm saying. The amount of transformation that you go through when you start to work on your weight, when you start to work on the mental weight and all the bullshit that happens, right? And you start to fall in love with yourself and who you are and who you want to be. And taking care of yourself and your body. It's incredible work, you guys. So if you're here, you're in the right place. Like, keep going. Keep going. And even now, like, sometimes, like, even just yesterday, like, my car broke down. Like, when I say that this whole, like, not even just 2020, for me, like, even in my personal life, the whole, like, really, like, even before 2020, like, the whole, like, last half of 2019 was really, really hard. It felt like life was just shitting down on me so many times, and there was, like, a lot of struggle. And even just yesterday with my car breaking down, and I was struggling to, like, pick up my kids from school, and we have to make it to this appointment, and all of these circumstances were happening. And then my brain was wanting to have a whole party of bullshit thoughts about what, you know, I was making it mean all kinds of things. And I'm still human. I still have those moments. I was sitting in that for a good 40 minutes just trying to coach myself. But I've learned how to step out of it now. And I've learned that, like, if I think life just continues to shit down on me, you know what else I can get to? That may be true. Like, even if it were true, I'm surrounded by a lot of people who have umbrellas. I have an umbrella. And I always figure it out. I have been called stubborn so many times that if I had gotten a dollar for every time I was called stubborn or whatever, like, I would be on a nice vacation right now. But that stubbornness has brought me a long way. Like, I have fallen down so many times, just like a lot of you. But I always get back up. And that's really been a big part of the work, is learning that you're always, you know, you're going to fall. Sometimes you're just going to land on your face or on your ass. But you always have the option to get back up, and you keep going. And I've said that in here before and in Ask Coaches. If you just decide to never give up, you will reach your goals. That's it. Doesn't mean you're never going to fail or fall on your face, but you can always get back up, and you will get there. So there you go. That's a little bit about me and where I've been and where I am now. Okay, so let's get to your questions. Okay, so Karen says, I've recently started studying the self-sabotage course, thinking that maybe that's where I will learn how to work on off-plan eats and not honoring my hunger scale. Would love your thoughts and advice. Okay, this is a great question. I'll learn how to work on off-plan eats and not honoring my hunger scale. Here's the thing. You're always going to have off-plan eats and, you know, like overeats. The thing is, like, are you seeing that as a problem? What are you making that mean? What's your, like, remember, Corinne always says, like, what's your next best decision? And she's talked about this before too, like, okay, so that happened. What's next? Like, what's my next best decision? You can choose to, like, okay, you have an off-plan eat or an overeat, and then you start the mental beatdown. You start to make it mean that you're never going to lose your weight. You start to make it mean that it's always going to be a struggle and you're never going to figure it out. Or you're going to realize that you are going to lose all of your weight and still be having those off-plan eats and the overeats. Like, we're just always going to have those. The coaches still have those. Corinne still has those. Like, we just get better at them over time. We learn how to level them up over time, how to have them less often over time. So that's what I would say on that is don't see it as a problem. See it as something like we're human. We're going to have those off-plan eats and the overeats. Just know that you can lose your weight anyway. You can lose your weight. Work on like just leveling it up a little bit at a time. Think about your future self who has already lost her weight. She still has overeats. Think about you 10 pounds from now, she still has overeats and off-plan eats, but how does she think about them? What does she do? How does she level them up? Just a little bit. Maybe you stop eating a tiny bit sooner. Maybe you start to pull out a bowl for your chips instead of taking the whole bag back with you to the couch, if that makes sense. And I'm sure a lot of the ladies on here have tips for that too, so feel free to drop those in the comments. Okay. Susie says, I'm noticing wanting to eat so as not to waste food. Yesterday, I ate on the clock, even though I wasn't hungry, about a zero, and ate to about a plus three, and realized it's because there's food in the fridge that needs to be eaten, and that I didn't want it to go to waste because it's so good. I'm planning today to not eat on the clock, and eat when actually hungry, and allow the thoughts and feelings to come up, and journal as they occur. Do you have any other recommendations on how to make strides in this area? I'm wondering how many people are already in the comments saying what Corinne always says, like, you can waste it in the trash or you can waste it on your ass. So really question this thought about wasting food. I want to say there was like maybe a call or a quick hit or something about this. So if there is, I will make sure to come back and post it in the group, but you really want to question your belief about wasting food. Why are you worried about wasting food? Like, what is going on there? I would get clear on that first. What are you believing about food and wasting food? Like, do a TDL on that. Get clear on why you don't want food to go to waste and it's so good. And you're allowed to think that, you know, it's so good and you can have it whenever you want. You just choose to plan it, right? Just because it's in the fruit in the fridge and it hasn't been eaten doesn't mean you have to go eat it. Like, so get clear too on what is that little thought that came up that had you making that kind of split second decision to walk to the fridge and get it out and eat it. It's really good to get clear on all of those little thoughts. Yeah, because you weren't hungry. You said you were at a zero. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So get clear on what's going on there with the wasting food and how can you even level that up a little bit next time? Because there's going to be other times where you have food in your fridge and you're not going to want it to go to waste. how could you level it up just a little bit? Could you, like, did you put it on your plan? Could you have a smaller serving? Things like that. But go to Ask Coaches with this if you want, about like your thoughts on wasting food. Why don't you want to waste food? Laura says, I'm struggling lately with fear of eating. I'm not 100% where this is coming from or how to push past it. Any advice? Okay, Laura. So you said you're struggling with fear of eating. I would pull out a piece of paper and a pencil and set a 2-minute timer if you have to, and just write down why you're scared to eat. Where is that fear coming from? Once we know what's going on there, what is causing this fear? It's not the food. The food is not causing your fear. You're thinking something about the food. So what is going on there? Why are you afraid to eat? So jot down some thoughts. It could be bullet points. It could be a paragraph. Why are you afraid to eat? And then, of course, these are all thoughts. So it's a thought about food that you're having that is causing you to feel fear. So once we get clear on that, we can kind of move forward from there. Feel free to put it in the comments and ask me again, or you can always take it to Ask Coaches. But it's some kind of thought that you're choosing to believe about food that is making you feel scared. And this is for all of you. Like, all thoughts are optional. We get to choose if we get to say yes to them and believe them, or just say no thank you and think something else and believe something else. Okay. And a big question that I use for that, when a thought pops up and I'm not sure about it, I just ask myself, is this a helpful thought for me? Is it useful for me to believe it? We have the option to believe all of these thoughts. And your brain is very good at offering up all kinds of thoughts and explanations and reasons for things. It is very good. That is its one of its big jobs, is to do that. But it's up to us to be aware of them and to say yes or no. Any advice on getting started with weight loss, with PCOS and insulin resistance? Okay, this is a great question. So I don't think I said this in the beginning, but I have PCOS, and that was one of the reasons that I was struggling with my weight loss after. So I have two girls. I'm a single mother. I have two girls. One is almost 9, and my youngest is almost 4 and a half now. After I had my 4-year-old, I noticed, like, in the last stage of my pregnancy, really, that I could not longer sleep at night. I could only sleep in the day. After I had her, I put on quite a bit of weight. Some of it was overeating, of course. And I think at some point, like, it also maybe triggered, like, insulin resistance. I was having issues with my cycle. It was all over the place. I started struggling with acne for the first time in my life. Like, as a teenager, I, like, didn't really get acne. I guess I just got really good genes because I rarely had acne. And all of a sudden, I had a lot of acne. And I just noticed all kinds of things. And I was diagnosed with PCOS. And that was another reason that I was struggling to just lose weight. Like, I felt like nothing was working. I've tried counting calories before, and it just felt like that. Just, I wasn't seeing any results. And so I started doing OBS, and I started just reading more about PCOS, insulin resistance. And I will tell you guys that for a long time, I had a lot of drama around my 2-to-2, and I still do sometimes with my 2-to-2. Took me a long, long time to feel ready to stop at a 2. Like, first it was even a 3 or a 4. And now it's never perfect. Like, I don't even know what the percentage is. If I had to guess, like 50 to 60% of the time, more so than not, I'm eating 2-to-2. Whereas for a long time, it was the other way around. More so than not, I was going past my enough, my doable hunger method. Just overeating. And so that was part of it. And then I had a lot of attachment to Food as comfort, food as relief, food to feel better. I never saw myself as an emotional eater. I thought that was like when you saw in romantic comedies and you saw a girl who, like, the guy had just broken up with her and now she was eating out of a tub of ice cream and crying. I thought that was emotional eating. Turns out I was doing it. I was eating after long days of being a mom and being a teacher and working a job and taking care of everybody else, and that I was just eating at the end of the day to feel better, like after the kids were in bed and everything. And I was very attached to the breads and the sweets and the chips and the fast food and the sodas. And so as I began to learn about PCOS, I began to do some work around that. And I just really I was really tired of struggling with the symptoms of just always getting my period, getting it very frequently, struggling with the acne, feeling very up and down, just feeling terrible. Like, I just got to this point where I was more tired of dealing with the symptoms than, you know, I was like not wanting to let go of the food and, you know, just not wanting to work on it. So that was part of it. A big part of it is just wanting to work on yourself in that way, like wanting to take care of yourself and being willing to try things, to try eating a little bit less of the sugar and flour, because the science has shown that sugar and flour is really what's causing that insulin resistance in our bodies. And that insulin resistance is tied to like our hormones being off. Scientists are starting to think that there's a big diabetes and PCOS are kind of related in a way, because like what we're eating ends up affecting our hormones and our cycles and causing the acne and everything. So the hormone imbalance is causing the PCOS and everything, and the hormone imbalance is being caused by like the insulin resistance, and that's being caused by like eating more sugar and flour than your body can like almost take. Like, it just, some, all bodies are different. There are some people who can't have dairy, or they know that if they have it, they're gonna feel like crap. For us PCOS ladies, a lot of times it's the sugar and flour. For other people, it's gonna be the gluten. So at some point, it's realizing like, you know what, like this food tastes great, but I love feeling good physically and emotionally more. And sometimes I still have like the sugar and flour. I've cut back a lot on it. I don't really have it on a daily basis anymore. I plan for it anywhere from like 1 to 3 times a week. It just kind of depends. And that don't mean like 1 to 3 days a week, like 1 to 3 meals. And it might not be all of the meal. It might just be something. But even like sometimes I'm still reminded. The other day, like last week, the girls wanted to bake some cookies for the holidays. And I was like, oh, what a fun activity. And we'll get to spend time together and blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, I made it about the cookies. And I had these big sugar cookies. I felt terrible. Like, I felt bloated and I felt sick. And I just felt all like kind of woozy. If you have PCOS, I don't know if you've experienced this before, when your blood sugar just seems off. Like, I just felt bad. And it was just, I still have those reminders sometimes of like, oh yeah, this is why I don't eat this food that much, because it makes me feel terrible and I really prefer not to. And I want my body to feel good. My body does so much for me. I want to feel good most of the time. Sometimes I still plan for the white bread. Sometimes I still plan for a cookie. Sometimes I still plan for a little bit of ice cream. But I don't have it all the time anymore. And a lot of this for you, Victoria, is just gonna be being willing. Being willing is one of those underrated emotions that can help us try so many things and take those little baby steps in the beginning. Just being willing. What are you willing to do right now to work on this? Are you willing to cut back on it just a little bit, to feel better and to see what happens with your body and see if that's what your body likes? And just over time, I've made lots of little level ups around that. I know the go-to foods that I have now that my body really likes, and I feel awesome and I feel energized. And I know the foods that if I eat them, I'm gonna be like trying not to slump over and fall asleep. I'm not gonna be like feeling just kind of woozy and off. And like if I tend to, like, I already know about how much I can have, and I know if I go beyond that and have more, my cycle will be off again. I'll start to get the acne again and all of that. So at some point it was just me deciding, like, I don't want to feel like that anymore. I really want to take good care of my body. Let me know if you have any other questions about that. I also had done a post recently in the Facebook group, so search for it. If you search my name, it should come up. I want to say I did it last month, where I just talked about my whole PCOS journey and some of the things I've done and some of the thought work I've done. A lot of this is a thought work so that we feel willing to try some of this stuff and play around with it and see what works. Okay, Michelle says, September baby, I've barely lost any weight so far. I've had a number of non-skill victories, but I'm really struggling to stay positive. I know what I need to do to lose weight, but I feel like my non-skill victories aren't enough. What kind of thought work do I need to do to get through this? Okay, so you said you're really struggling to feel positive, and then you also said you feel like your non-skill victories aren't enough. So if you're thinking, Michelle, that your non-skill victories aren't enough, it's no wonder that you're struggling to feel positive. Why are you choosing to think that your non-skill victories aren't enough? Why is that not good enough? It's that thought that's really causing all of this emotional struggle. And then it just kind of creates the cycle of then you don't show up the way that you want to and the way that you need to create these results for yourself, these scale results for yourself. And it just kind of fuels it, right? It's like this little self-fulfilling prophecy. You're struggling to stay positive because you're thinking these non-skill victories aren't enough. And so then you maybe give up, or you say F it, and you have the ovary or the off plan E, and then you continue to not have the results that you want. So your work here is on that thought, my non-skill victories aren't enough. Why are they not enough? How could they be enough? Like, why aren't you celebrating those? That's my question. Why are you not celebrating those non-skill victories? So you've shown up for yourself almost 3 months, and you've created some non-skill victories. You're here. You're doing the work. Why are you struggling to stay positive? Why are you thinking that it's not enough? So that's my question. So I feel like a lot of us here forget to celebrate our wins. Every little win is huge. It counts. It's important. Like, you did that. Use all of those little wins to keep fueling you. And even if you think, like, okay, I'm not seeing the results I want, like, why are you not using that to push you further? If you were wanting to lose X amount of pounds, let's say you wanted to lose 2 pounds this week, and you lost one or maintained, or let's say you gained a pound, why aren't you using that to push yourself? How could you use that to feel more determined and committed than ever? So remember, our emotions, the think, feel, do cycle, right? How we feel comes from how we're thinking. So decide, Michelle. How do you want to feel? So there are the facts. There's the number on the scale. There's the non-scale victories. How do you want to feel going forward? Is it committed? Is it determined? What is it? And then whatever feeling it is, how would you need to think to feel that way? We get to choose our thoughts. We might as well think ones that help us keep pushing forward and not give up. Celebrate your wins. Celebrate all your non-skill victories. You did that. That counts. And then also use it to keep pushing forward. if you're not where you want to be, use it to push yourself a little bit further and keep going. Use it to motivate yourself. Use it as fuel. That's what I would say on that. Lisa says, I have a huge sweet tooth and nighttime and overnight eating has been my jam. I'm working on sitting and waiting through the urges. What else could you recommend? Okay, so I have a huge sweet tooth and nighttime and overnight eating has been my jam. I'm working on sitting and waiting through the urges. What else could you recommend? Okay, I'm very familiar with this because I used to have the same issue. As soon as I closed the door to, you know, after I put the kids to bed, I was like at the kitchen table in like 2 seconds with my food, even though I'd already had dinner, even if I wasn't hungry, I was just eating to feel better and kind of just comfort myself. Even if I wasn't hungry, and I would pull up with some Netflix and get to eating. So number one, I would tell you, Lisa, why are you doing the nighttime eating and the overnight eating? What is it doing for you? What is it giving you? If there wasn't some kind of positive reason that you're doing, like, you know, that you're doing it, or like if it wasn't giving you something that feels good, you wouldn't be doing it. So you're doing it because it's giving you something that feels good. What is it? If you had to guess, why are you doing it? Because the brain is very good at creating habits that give you some kind of reward. So what is it? What is the reward? Get clear on that and do some thought work around that. You can take it to Ask Coaches or post it in the Facebook group, come on a coaching call, get clear on that. I've gotten coached on this by Kathy once or twice, and I realized that I was eating for comfort and relief and to relax. And so my thought on that was, I deserve to relax. And that feels like such a good thought. Like, I deserve to relax. Like, I've had a hard day. I have 2 kids. Like, I've given everything to everybody else. Like, I just want to do this for me. And I just want to feel good and relax here for a moment. Rest. You know what Kathy told me? Like, that's never, ever, like, not going to feel true, that I deserve to relax. And so what I did, like, that's not really a thought that I wanted to change, but we added something to it. I deserve to relax, and it doesn't have to be with food. That thought has helped me so much. I deserve to relax, and it doesn't have to be with food. And that starts to get me curious and thinking about other ways that I can rest, relax, feel better, feel relief, recharge myself, whatever it is that doesn't involve food. It reminds me that food is not my only option for feeling better and comforting myself after like a tiring day. I could watch Netflix without food. I could text a friend. I could call a friend. I could watch a movie. I could get into a relaxing shower. I could read a really good book. I could get into bed and just be lazy and just lay there and be on my phone or read a book or watch some funny videos or text somebody. Like, I could do that. That would be just as relaxing. So one would be that. Get clear on why you're doing it, what it's giving you. Work on that thought. What else could help you feel better after a long day? I don't know if that's why you're doing it, but if it is, that's helpful. And another thing that really, really helped me with the nighttime eats, I would say this helped me just as much, was, and I can't remember if I heard it, I think I heard Brooke say it. So she said that every time I got the urge to eat after the kids were in bed, like, you know, at night, after dinner, after the kitchen had closed, every time I got the urge and I said yes, I was strengthening that habit. I was only making it stronger. Every time I said no, I got the urge and sat there with it and just thought about how much I wanted the food, but reminded myself that I want my goals more. And I went and did something else, and I maybe set a timer for 5 minutes, and I decided to text my accountability partner instead. Every time I said no, I weakened the nighttime eating habit. I weakened it. and I strengthened my habit of saying no. So that was huge. From when I heard that, I was like, oh, I don't want to keep saying yes to that habit and making it stronger. I want to start saying no. Maybe I'm not going to say no every single time from now on, but I'm going to get so much better at it. So that's a big part of it, is just getting better at saying no over time. And for me, that thought helped. Like, if I say yes, okay, that's fine. I'm going to say yes. I'll do my discovery worksheet, but at the same time, I'm making that habit stronger. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to, you know what I really want to make strong is that habit of really, like, actually taking care of myself, giving myself what I actually need, what would actually feel better. Food doesn't actually help me feel better. Then I'm just stuffed. And then the next day, like, I feel terrible that I did it. And then, you know, it's not, no. So I get better at saying no, get clear on why, what it's doing for you, and then work on little level ups that can help you decrease how often it's happening or how long it happens. Like we say, like, put it on your plan. You can put what you're going to have on the plan. It could be a specific quantity or whatever it is going to be. And get good at following through on your word, honoring what you said you were going to do. And as you accumulate those wins and build that motivation, you start to level it up just a little bit, whatever feels easy and doable. For me, it was always like the grilled cheese and ramen. That for me, that felt just like so comforting. And then I started to just eat half of the grilled cheese. And then I started to not pour all of the ramen into my bowl. It was like 3/4 of it. So I started to eat less over time. I got better at saying no. So even if I said yes, I would level it up, or maybe I would leave some of it behind and throw it away. I would get better at saying no, so it happened less often. And just get really good at putting it on your plan and still keeping promises to yourself, even if you decide to say yes to it. Because then you're going to have a different conversation if you happen to say yes. If it's on your plan and you say yes, that you are going to eat after the kids are in bed or whatever it is, you're going to have a much different conversation than if you're deciding to eat off plan. So those are some of my biggest tips on that. I have done so much work on it, and I never eat after dinner anymore, like very, very rarely. Another thing that has really helped me is I'll put tea on my plan. When I tell you that I went from leveling up just the quantity of food that I was having to now I'm at tea, it took a lot of little steps. I did not get there overnight. To now I put tea on my plan. And if I feel like I want something, I kind of have an urge for something, I'll put a tea that I really like on there. And I still feel like I get to have something, but it's basically water, right? With some flavor in it. And I still feel like I get to have something, but it's not any, like, I still get to hit my goals. And I'm not going to have the regret the next day. So I really like cinnamon tea. I can be kind of picky. I've not always liked tea. I only recently started getting more into tea and things like that, and I really like cinnamon tea, and I'll put 2 bags in there and make it really flavorful. Krista says, I have been journaling around my thoughts that food is my only reward right now. All of my hobbies, which have served as rewards before, are shut down currently because of COVID. Do you have any suggestions of laddering up my thoughts to say that food is not reward? You know, what comes to mind for me is what Corinne would say. if I had to guess what Corinne would say to this one, first of all, I can almost hear her, is being on this journey is its own reward. How is this, like, you doing this work is its own reward? Why are you not seeing that as a reward? This is a reward. How your body is changing, how you're feeling, giving your body the exact food it needs, the exact amount instead of stuffing it, waking up and feeling awesome, drinking your water and being able to think clearly and have Nice skin is its own reward. Look at all the ways that you being on this journey is a reward to you. That's what I would say first. Why are you not seeing this incredible journey that you're on as a reward? How is that a reward to you? Also, you said all of my hobbies, which have served as rewards before, are shut down currently because... So it's not even that the hobbies were a reward to you. What was the reward was you were thinking something that felt rewarding, that felt good. What were you thinking while you were doing those hobbies that felt rewarding and good? Try to think back on that. Think back on that. Figure out what it was. Why did it feel rewarding? For example, if it was sports, maybe it was just like moving your body and feeling strong and all of that. I don't know what the hobbies were. How can you think those thoughts now? You had thoughts back then while you were doing those hobbies that made you feel rewarded. How can you create that same experience now, regardless of what you can and can't do because of COVID? That is available to you. You can do that. How could you get curious? How could you create that same kind of rewarding experience now? What else could you try? How could you modify it? If you're just stuck on food is my only reward right now and, you know, all these hobbies, like I can't do them, as Corinne would say, wah, 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 that's going to keep you stuck. That's going to keep you stuck and only seeing food as your reward when... There are so many possibilities. You could get curious and get thinking on solutions for how to create a rewarding, fun experience for yourself now with other things. With, you know, like I said, if could you modify it? Could you still make it happen in some way? But if you could stay stuck, or you can start thinking of solutions. And also, I would ask you, do you want to see food as a reward? Is that the relationship that you want to have with food? I would do a TDL on that. Food is my only reward. Why are you seeing food as a reward? A reward for what? And is that the kind of relationship that you want to have with food? Does that kind of relationship with food help you? Does it help you get closer to your weight loss goals or not? So I would also question that. Feel free to take any of that back to Ask Coaches, and we would love to help you with that. Let's see. Mina says, my husband and I got a Peloton as a gift to ourselves for our birthdays. Now I'm having issues getting on and using it because he friended me, which I view as tracking me, making sure I am using the bike. I don't want to use it now because I don't want my husband seeing what I'm doing. I feel like it's controlling. That's such a good question, Mina. So here's what I'm going to tell you. The Peloton is not the problem here. Your husband is not the problem here. The fact that he friended you is not a problem here. The only problem is all the bullshit thinking you're having about it. It's bullshit thinking. Why are you choosing to tell yourself that story? I view it as tracking me. He's, you know, making sure I'm using the bike. Now I don't want to use it because he's going to see what I'm doing. I think it's controlling. That's not a fact. You know how Corinne has talked about like writing something and we could like underline the facts? There's a lot of stuff here that's not fact. You're having a lot of thoughts. This is the story that you're choosing to tell yourself around the Peloton and your husband friending you on there. And what I would say, it's not really that... You said, I don't want my husband seeing what I'm doing. I think maybe it's you. Like, maybe it's like you don't want to see what you're doing or not doing. You don't want to be trucking. You like, could that be what's going on here? Is that part of it, do you think? Because sometimes what we think others are going to think of us, it's really what we're kind of thinking of us. If I'm afraid that my husband is going to see that I didn't, you know, maybe I said I was going to do 3 workouts a week and I haven't worked out at all this week, and now he's going to judge me. Really, it's not like I'm afraid to judge me, and I'm afraid to have that mental beat down with myself. So I would ask yourself here, why is it a problem that he has friended you and that he could see what you're up to or not up to? What's the problem? I would do a TDL on that, journal on that. Get your thoughts out on paper. Write those thoughts down. Why is it a problem that he could be tracking me or trying to control me or that he could see what I'm doing? And that's what's really going on here. And you can totally get coached on that and ask coaches or on a coaching call if you want. But just know, it's never the husband or the Peloton or whatever that's the problem. It's we're having thoughts that feel like a problem. And I think somebody on here said, you could just block him if you wanted. Why haven't you done that? So that's what I would say, Mina. Let me know if you have any other questions about that. Emily says, did you switch to no sugar, no flour? So I am not, I don't even want to say strictly. I don't do no sugar, no flour. I do it vast majority of the time. I would say, 80 to 90% of the time I do no sugar, no flour. So I still plan sugar and flour. There are some things that I'll just say no to because I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to plan sugar or flour and have it, it better be worth it. Because I used to, if I was at a birthday party and they offered me a slice of cake, I would eat it just to eat it because it was cake and ooh, we never get to have cake. And I've come to realize I don't even like most cake. If it's not good cake, I'm not eating the cake. It better be some good cake for me to eat it. Same thing with cookies. Those sugar cookies that I had with my kids, not worth it. Made me feel like utter crap. They didn't even taste that great. We had some oatmeal cookies too. Those I would say were worth it. They tasted really, really good. And they didn't make me feel nearly as terrible. So a lot of times, like I said, I will still plan it and have it here and there. It better be some good sugar and flour type food. And so I would say during the week, I don't usually have sugar and flour. So I usually plan an exception on Friday nights for dinner. I am a Chick-fil-A girl. If you guys are in the South, you know I'm in Georgia. I love me some Chick-fil-A. Before I lost my weight, I was having Chick-fil-A 3 to 4 times a week, overeating on it. And then, kind of feeling crap afterwards just because it was so much food and so much, then it hits your system. I will have Chick-fil-A now almost every Friday for dinner. I love it. I love how it tastes. I've leveled it up a little bit. 80% of the time we'll take off the bun. I'll order extra lettuce on it. And since I really like the fries, I will get rid of the bun because I'm fine not having it. And I'll just have it as a lettuce wrap and I'll have my fries. I've recently gotten to the place. Are you ready? I've gotten to the place where I can throw away 2 or 3 fries. Or I will not steal my 4-year-old's fries. Can we just take a moment to appreciate that? So I still plan those exceptions, but I would say usually anywhere 1 to 3 times a week. Sometimes it's 1. Most of the time it's 2 because, on the weekends, I might eat out with family or friends or something like that. Or there'll be some kind of family thing where I want to have whatever it is that they're having. Or I'll have soda again. I like soda, but I've gotten to a place again where I've leveled it up a lot. And I'll just I'm good with this much and then I'm done. way back when, years ago, before I found Corinne, I was having soda 3 times a day, you guys. So that's when I say even when I plan it, I've leveled it up just a little bit at a time, you guys. Baby steps. Just things that felt easy and I like, yes, I had another win. Like, I left behind 2 fries. That's a win. Yes. You know what? Next time, maybe I'm going to throw away 3. So I plan it. I enjoy the hell out of it. It better be good. It better be worth it. And I just don't have it all the time because you know what? That food is good. The pasta is good. The white bread is good. The soda is good. The fries are good. But you know what? You know what also feels good? Waking up and not feeling bloated. Waking up and not having like painful hormonal acne. Not having my period every 3 weeks or 2 weeks is really nice. Like, I'm good. I'm good with having the sugar and flour less often so that I can enjoy feeling really good in my body. So that's what I would say there. I 80 to 90% of the time, I say no. And if I do have it, I plan it and better be good. It better be worth it. And I enjoy it. I know we've talked about eating out of urges, boredom, or F it. I have realized in the last few days that I might be eating out of fears unrelated to weight and other things going on. Any thoughts? So yeah, what is the fear? That's my question for you. What's going on? Get curious with yourself. Pretend like a friend, like a good friend told you this, like a loved one told you this. And they came to you and they told you, you know what? I might be eating out of fear. I have this fear going on. You would probably be just be like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Like, how can I help? I would have that same kind of attitude here, that same kind of mindset. Get curious. Ask yourself what's going on. Like, you're talking to a loved one. Like, what's going on? How can I help? What can we do? What's the fear? How can I help with that fear? Let's get clear on that fear. I would get those thoughts out on paper and get clear on what the fear is. If you say, I don't know, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you had to write down 5 guesses on what you think it is, what would you say it is? Make a list. Any thoughts, any sneaky little thoughts that maybe they've kind of been under the surface, let them come up, turn on the light switch in the room and see what's going on. What fear is there? Fear is an emotion, it's a feeling. What are you thinking that is making you feel fear? What's going on? You're having fear about a thing, you're thinking something about it. So that's what I would say there. And whatever it is, take it to Ask Coaches, post it in the Facebook group, come to office hours, come to a coaching call, and let us know what it is. Like, we can help you. So whatever, we don't just coach on weight loss here. We coaches are equipped to coach on just about anything. If you have something going on in your life that having you feel that fear, get clear on what it is, bring it to a coaching call or to Ask Coaches, and we can help. So that's all the questions I'm seeing, and we're just about out of time. I want to just finish off here again. Thank you all for having me. You guys, this is such an incredible community, and I just feel like it just hits me over and over again that I get to do this for a living. The help that I got the last 2 years with my health, with my weight loss, with my PCOS, everything that happened in my life. I have gotten so much help here. This program, Corinne, changed my life forever. And there is some shitty stuff I went through, but you know what? It's fine because I'm here. I'm here. And so to be here now as a coach and giving you guys back some of the help that I got from the coaches, from Corinne, from my accountability partner, shout out to Tanya, shout out to my PMP tribe sisters and everybody else. in here that has offered up advice, encouragement, thought of me, sent up a prayer for me. Like, I just continue to be astounded by all of you and what you have made this community. So just to be here as a coach now, like, I can't even tell you guys how much that means to me to have been helped and now get to be the one helping. And if you're a single mother, give me a shout out, because I know, I get it. And I want to be a voice for all the people who, all the women in here who have gone through something like what I've gone through. So I'm just so excited for that, and thankful. So yeah, thank you. And I want to remind you guys that you have some incredible resources at your disposal. Take advantage of those. You have 7 coaches now who are here for you, and Corinne, and an incredible community team. And you don't even know all the people who are behind the scenes working for you, making sure, like, working to make this as an incredible experience as possible for you. Keep making No BS better. Keep serving you as much as we can. I'm sure you guys have heard about the book study thing coming up. I'm going to be leading that. And just so many awesome things, like so many awesome courses. We have Binge Better going on right now. We have other programs. There's so many awesome things coming. Take advantage of all of it. Listen to the coaching calls. If you have not listened to No BS, the new one, if you've not listened to it, what are you doing? Go listen to it. Get it in your ears. Remind yourself of the 4 basics and why we do them and all of it. Go through a course. Listen to a coaching call. I know some of us don't really consume as much of the content. How can you listen to 1 call a week? It's always good to get the coaches in your head. Get Corinne in there. Don't just let the BS thoughts be in there floating around. Get Corinne in there too. Get us coaches in there too. That's what I would say. And you've got Ask Coaches, you've got courses, you've got coaching calls, you've got the Facebook group. You have so many resources at your disposal. Use them. Yes, the big leap. The big leap. We will be doing the big leap book study in January. So if you're interested in that, if you're like me and you're kind of just a big nerd and you love self-development and books and everything, if you enjoyed Chasing Cupcakes, I loved that book. Order your copy of The Big Leap. We will be reading this and studying it in January. It is such a good book. Such a good book. It's blowing my mind left and right. So you guys are going to love this. This is going to be so helpful for us for 2021. Getting our brain thinking and growing, you guys. As No BS women, we are always thinking and growing and learning. So, and it's not a big book. So even if you're like, I don't know. I'm not really a reader. Get the audiobook. Get the paperback. It's not a super long book. And a lot of this in the back is like appendixes or something. But it's by I don't know if this is a typo. Gay Hendricks. Yeah, I guess that's his name. So it's linked up on the website under Corinne's Favorite Things. I think that's under resources. But I'm sure we'll get a link in here. So look on the website, Corinne's Favorite Things. It's on there. So get the audiobook if you're telling yourself, oh, I'm not a reader. No excuses. We're No BS women. So I think that's it. So I'm not really seeing anything else. Yes. So Dina already linked it for us in the comments. Thank you so much, Dina. So that you can go out and get the book. We're going to be doing, I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but let me just say, if you have a planner ready to go for 2021, awesome. If you know you're going to need a new one by then, or you've been meaning to order one, order one. That is what I will say about that. But thank you guys so much for having me. And I hope you have a lovely rest of your Wednesday. And I'll talk to you guys soon. I'll be around. I'll be in Ask Coaches and I'll be around. So bye, guys.